Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of Trust, Apostolic Set Attorney, Congregation outside the Fells Hour. And the Elgin, Texas, today is June 18, 2023, or it is the first day of the fourth month of the new moon. And it's 2027. First day of the fourth month, 2027. We're going to start our first service day of the song entitled We're Marching to Zion. And then we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to have a sermon to be named. Come, ye that love the Lord, let her joys be known. Join in a song with a sweet accord. Join in a song with a sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. The marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. The marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion. That those refuse to sing, who never hear a yawn. The children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching ever to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, the marching effort to find the beautiful city of Zion. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. Marching to Emmanuel's crown, marching to Emmanuel's crown, to fair worlds on high, to fair worlds on high. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion. Psalms 81, prayer thought. It says, sing aloud unto the Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Those are music instruments. And David's created 4,000 of them. He's the first creator of the string instrument in history, David of old. Throw up the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this were the statute for Israel, and the law of Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out to the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, and his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of the thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh thy Yahweh, which brought thee, and the Yahshua thy deliverer, your king, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would not of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. For the hater of the Yeshua should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. That their time should have endured forever. For he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Okay. It says in Psalms 82, verse 1, Yahweh standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, for they walk on in the darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of the course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Yahweh, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Now this is actually Yahshua that David is addressing here. Arise, O Yahshua, our King and Deliverer, our Redeemer, our Emancipator. Judge the earth, and thou shalt inherit all nations. It's Yahshua that inherited all nations because of his death on the cross for the redeemed by the blood. Yahshua inherits all the nations. It says so right there in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go read Hebrews chapter 1 for just a little bit right here. Let's see what we got here. It says in Hebrews chapter 1. It's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Yahweh, who at sundry times, and in the divers manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So it is right there. That's what David said there in Psalms 82. That Yahshua has inherited all things, by whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There it is right there. Okay, that's Seven Seals and the Sanctuary. Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 187 by B.T. Hollis. In order for the making of a proper application of the Seven Seals, we must have a better understanding of the heavenly sanctuary service, its origin, and the object of its existence, as taught by the earthly sanctuary built by the Moses, Hebrews 8:5. In the sanctuary construction and service is revealed the plan of the salvation. For the first apartment called the holy place, in which the high priest officiated daily with the sacrifices and divers manners of the gifts and washings, was a place for the confession of sin, all of which was a shadow of the heavenly thing, clearly revealing the plan of salvation. For the second apartment, within the veil, called the Most Holy, or the Holiest of All, was open only in the seventh month and tenth day of the month in each year. Their redemption from the condemnation of the law was assured. Leviticus 23:27-30. Leviticus 16:34. It was called the Day of the Atonement, Judgment, of the cleansing of the sanctuary. Leviticus 16:33. Daniel 7:10-8:14. This was a day for the blotting out of sin accumulated during the year, and was a symbol of the great day of the atonement, not in the figure but in the reality. See Leviticus 16:19. Also, the Great Controversy, page 485. For the seat overshadowed by the cherubim, being called the mercy seat, proves that it is a throne of the mercy and therefore a throne of the judgment, where sinners can obtain mercy. For the entire system, priest, sacrifice, and service was a type of the Yahshua and his administration in the heavenly sanctuary, which the Yahshua pitched and not man. See Hebrews 8:2 and the Acts of the Apostles, page 14. The holy place was for the confession of sin, but the most holy for the blotting out of sin, while the services and the earthly sanctuary were in the operation. There could have been no services in the heavenly until after Yahshua ascended and became our high priest. See Hebrews 8. Therefore, when the services in the heavenly sanctuary began, the services in the earthly ceased, for the true worshipers in the earthly, who by the faith looked forward unto the administration of the heavenly, were credited in the books of the heaven as worthy of the life eternal. For their records were to be investigated when Yahshua, our high priest, entered within the veil unto the holiest of all to blot out sin. Daniel 7:10. Says the Spirit of Yahweh, it is impossible that the sins of men should be blotted out until after the judgment, at which time their cases are to be investigated. So the Great Controversy, page 45, while the services in the earthly sanctuary were in the fourth, the heavenly served as a depository for the confessed sin. The same is true even with the Yahshua's administration, while in the holy apartment until he entered into the most holy, the plan of salvation preceded the fall, for the heavenly sanctuary being for the confession and the blotting out of sin, it could not have existed before sin entered and brought about the necessity for such a structure. Although the sanctuary service was originated after Adam's sin, the plan of the salvation had always existed and was revealed in and by the sanctuary service. Thus, the plan that preceded the fall is found in the Yahshua, in whom there was and is a redeeming power for all. Is the sanctuary the eternal place of the Yahweh's throne? While the earthly sanctuary existed, Yahweh met his people in the most holy place, where his presence was manifested between the cherubim on the mercy seat. Therefore, some have taken the position that the eternal place of the Yahweh's throne is in the holiest of all of the heavenly sanctuary. But such an idea is contrary unto both type and antitype. For the first reason is that the sanctuary did not always exist as previously explained. Second, the most holy was closed while the Yahshua ministered in the holy. Says Paul, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. Hebrews 8:1. If Yahweh's throne was in the most holy place, when the Yahshua ascended on the high, then he must have immediately entered the holiest of all and stayed at the holy place. Such a position is contrary unto both scripture and service. For Yahweh met his ancient people in the holiest of all, where the figure and the figure, their sins were blotted out. Thus, symbolically showing that he cannot meet his sins face to face until after he has met them in the most holy, blotted out their sins, not in the figure, but in the reality. In the antitypical Day of Atonement, we shall prove this again from another angle. For the Revelator, in a vision about 96 A.D., was permitted to look in to both departments. A voice from the heavens said unto him, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Then he saw a throne set, and one sat on the throne, and before the throne there was a sea of the glass like unto a crystal. See Revelation 4:1-6. For the voice told him that the things of which he saw were to be hereafter, that is, in the future, from the time of the vision. Hence it is evident that there was no throne there at that time, about 62 years after Yahshua had ascended to the Father. Therefore, Yahshua sat on the right hand of Yahweh, but not on the throne in the sanctuary. What then? Has Yahweh more than one throne? A throne is a seat. Wherever Yahweh sits, there his throne is. Note that around and before the throne in the sanctuary is a sea of glass. Now we read of another throne, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the Yahweh and the Lamb, Revelation 22:1. Again, note that from one of the thrones proceeds the river of life, that from the other, the sea of glass. Therefore, there are two thrones. Yahshua sat at the right hand of the Father on the throne, from which proceeds the river of life. For this is the one called the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. This is Yahweh's eternal place of the abode, but the one in the sanctuary was set for the time being. See Daniel 7:9-10. During Yahshua's ministration in the holiest of all, which is a throne of the judgment, of the blotting out sins and for granted of rewards, the one from which proceeds the river of life is the throne of life and of eternity. Where is the throne seen by the giant? Revelation 4, 1, 2, 4 to 6. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened into heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set into heaven, and one that sat on the throne and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in their white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts for the eyes before and behind. For the description of the place is such that it bears evidence of being in the heavenly sanctuary. The same is supported by the spirit of the prophecy. And in vision, the apostle John was granted a view of the temple of Yahweh in heaven. He beheld those seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne. He saw an angel having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Here the prophet was permitted to behold the first apartment of the sanctuary in the heaven. And he saw there the seven lamps of the fire and the golden altar represented by the golden candlestick. And the altar of the incense in the sanctuary on earth. Again, the temple of Yahweh was open. And he looked within the inner veil upon the Holy of Holies. Here he beheld the Ark of his Testament, represented by the sacred chest constructed by the Moses to contain the law of Yahweh. They chose in Proverbs 3:56. In the earthly sanctuary, the high priest alone was permitted to officiate in the second apartment within the veil. And it has been understood by some that the throne seen by the giant could not have been in the most holy, because the 24 elders are before the throne. That thought is correct, for it would be unreasonable to take the position that the Yahweh would move his throne from the holiest of all to the holy place, rather than for the elders to enter in the most holy before the throne. Furthermore, it is the throne of the Eternal One that makes the second apartment most holy. Therefore, if we take the position thus, if the elders and the beast or creatures were not permitted in the second apartment before the throne, neither would they be permitted in the first apartment before the throne. Taking any other stand than this would be saying that the apartment is holier than the Creator and his throne. According to Paul, the services within the veil of the earthly tabernacle cannot clear all that takes place in the heavenly, said the Holy Spirit. This signifying that the reign of the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle we just studied, Hebrews 9:8. Therefore, we must find the truth of the services in the heavenly sanctuary from another angle. We quote Daniel 7:9-10. And be held till the thrones were set up, and the ancient of the days did sit, whose garment was white as the snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. For the prophet was shown the commencement of the judgment, atonement, or as it is also called, the cleansing of the sanctuary, which takes place in the most holy apartment. For he said, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, note that 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Thus we see that Paul is right, that the service of the heavenly was not fully manifested by the service in the earthly. So, the high priest alone was permitted to enter the most holy place in the earthly. An innumerable company entered into the heavenly. Therefore, where is the evidence that the elders cannot be in the holiest of all? It is impossible to apply the fulfillment of the 20 days, years of the Daniel's vision in chapter 8, verse 14, at any other time than the judgment in 1844. For this prophetic period commenced at the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Well, that command right now is underway right now. It's under command. For the decree made, that's in Daniel 9:25, for the decree made by the king of the Persian was carried out in 457 B.C. See Ezra number 7. Therefore, it terminated in 1844, and at which time Yahshua passed from the holy into the most holy place for the further study. The great controversy, page 486. We shall endeavor to prove that the vision of Daniel is of the same event as that of the John. Daniel speaks of the throne's plural, and he makes a distinction of the throne of Yahweh, ancient days, by the fiery stream coming from before him. The book of Daniel is a prophecy, but the vision of John is a revelation. Daniel says he saw thrones, but John gives us the number of them, 25 in all. Revelation 4:2-4. Daniel says a fiery stream came forth from before him. John tells us what the stream is, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Revelation 4:6-15:2. Daniel says 1,000,000 and 1,000 times 10,000 stood before him. John tells us who they are. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Revelation 5:11. Daniel says the judgment was set, and the books were opened. John adds that one of the books was in the hand of him that sat on the throne, and was sealed with the seven seals. Revelation 5:1. Thus John gives us more explicit revelation of the same event. For the door he saw open is a veil between the holy and the most holy, for there is no other that has been kept closed. Therefore, the word hereafter in Revelation 4, verse 1, means from the time of the vision, pointing forward unto 1844. Though the priest of the earthly sanctuary entered the most holy place once a year, according to Paul, Yahshua entered the holy place once forever. See Hebrews 9:12. And at that time the apostle said, he is to appear in the presence of the Father for us in the holiest of all, Hebrews 9:24. Therefore Yahshua could not enter the first apartment as a priest before his resurrection from the dead, at which time he became our high priest. Neither could he enter into the most holy, and that's the pastor before the day of the judgment. For the Paul says he entered in once, then the prophecy by the Daniel and the revelation by John can be of no other event than the commencement of the judgment as the date stated in 1844. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are brought into the presence of the Yahweh in the most holy place, says the apostle, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19. As the same vision continues, we pass to the fifth and sixth chapters of Revelation. Revelation 5:1, 3:5-7, and Revelation 6:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with the seven seals. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to lift their own. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed for the opening of the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And so, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, for the book sealed with the seven seals in the right hand of the great judge, must contain the names of those whose sins are to be blotted out, inasmuch as this is the only book that no man in the heaven nor in earth was able to open, now that the lips are on, save the Lamb, which was before the throne. See chapters 5:1-9. It is unquestionably clear that the book with the seven seals is the one called the Lamb's Book of Life, and with it the judgment opened. And the same is repeated in the Revelation 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according unto their works. See the Great Controversy, page 40. Since this cannot be refuted, it is evident that a foundation for the application of the seal is established. Well, we quote the scripture of the first four sheep. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that he that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with the thunder, and with the death, and with the beast of the earth. Revelation 6, 2-5, and 7-8. Since now some have applied the seventh seal of the sixth chapter of Revelation to the church in the New Testament time, but the symbols are contrary to the application. In both of the Old and the New Testament time, Yahweh, as a church, have been symbolized by a chaste woman. See Jeremiah 6:2, Revelation 12:1. Inspiration makes no change in the rule or symbol of an impure church. For in Revelation 17:1-5, and harlot is used to point out a church or churches that are fallen or untrue. The change of this rule from woman to man or horses cannot be found anywhere within the Bible. It is not only unscriptural for the applying men and horses as symbol of the church, but it is altogether unfitting as well. Neither can any proof be presented to show that the seals apply only to the New Testament time. Therefore, the application of the symbol must be sought elsewhere. Thus, we are confronted with the necessity of a deeper study on the subject. According unto the counsel of the servant of Yahweh, we are admonished to study this, for it holds out an important truth for those who shall have a spot or a part in the closing work of the gospel work. Quoting Testimony for the Church, Volume 9, page 267, the fifth chapter of the Revelation needs to be closely studied. Okay, it says, it is of the great importance unto those who shall sit active part in the work of the Yahweh for these last days. Had the chapter been properly understood, explained, and published before the above testimony was written, there would have been no need for this urgency. Furthermore, if it had been explained in the past, why is the lesson of such great importance, and who is bearing the responsibility of its deliverance to the world? But the fifth chapter, separated from the fourth and sixth, cannot be comprehended, for these chapters contain one subject, namely the seven seals. The fifth chapter is, as I mentioned, because it is the heart and chi of the subject, it would be impossible to correct and understand the lesson of the seal and the sixth chapter unless we know something about the either the book and the beast of the fourth chapter where the vision began, when we acquire some knowledge of the duties before the throne and the purpose of the assembly, as well as the occasion, then only can we make a proper application that can stand the test. Unless the meaning, then only can we make a proper application that can, okay. Unless the meaning of every symbol is fittingly explained so that it cannot be contradicted, and a present truth lesson with the special significance derived, the interpretation cannot be dependable and there can be no truth in it. For Yahweh does not make vain repetitions, neither would he waste the time of his servant to write them. Therefore, every title symbol, or every little symbol, has its meaning and reveals a great truth. The Judgment and the Seals of Revelation, chapter 4. It says, 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in the heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The door that was opened cannot be any other than the one separated the two above it, namely the Holy from the Most Holy and the heavenly sanctuary, as shown by the earthly sanctuary built by the Moses. For that apartment was to be opened at the beginning of the judgment, typified by the Day of the Atonement, as previously explained. Then we make no mistake in concluding that the scene is the judgment in this session. And as the voice said to John, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. It is evident that he looked forward and visioned to the opening of the judgment in 1844. In these conclusions are correct, and the vision describes the judgment and the progress, then the same must be proven by the things seen in the vision. A judgment and the session requires a judge, an advocate, a jury, and representatives of those who are to be judged. But they cannot be there in heaven in person. There must be books containing the names and records of the deeds of those who are to be judged, also the time of the judgment and the reward. For we quote the scripture according unto the great judge, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Revelation 4, 2 and 3. For the glory of Yahweh is represented by the likeness of the precious stone. For the rainbow reveals Yahweh's never-failing promise and great mercy. For the Yahweh said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, Genesis 9:12-13. But the following verse depicts the jury around about the throne, where 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in the white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of the gold, Revelation 4:4. For the crowns of the gold denotes their kingly authority to act up on the throne. The white robes show that they are men from the earth, redeemed by the Revelation 4:6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odour, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, Yahweh, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:8-9. Note the beast and elders all slain sin. For thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thus the beast as well as the elders are redeemed from the earth. Again, note that the beast and the elders made a total of 28. It says it would be impossible for only 28 persons to be redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. For if there were only one redeemed out of every nation, the number would run into thousands instead of 28. Therefore, it is evident that the four beasts are symbols which represent four groups of the saints gathered from all ages and out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. In a similar way, the world empires after the flood are symbolically represented by the beast. Thus, by the beast are represented those that shall be judged. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of the eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Yeshua, or Yahweh Almighty the Father. Okay, it says, which was and is to come. Revelation 4:8. Full of the eyes. Eyes are to give light to the body. Therefore, they stand as a symbol, signifying that Yahweh's people have had sufficient light in every age, before and behind. Denotes prophetic light, revealing unto them the past, present, and future. This being made possible by the Spirit of Yahweh and by the Holy Angel, the number four shows that there are four classes of saints to be considered in the judgment. Two of these classes are to be resurrected, namely those who died naturally and those who were martyred. The other two are they who shall be translated at the coming of the Yeshua, namely the 144,000, Revelation 7:1-8, and the great multitude with the psalm in their hands, as shown by the Revelation 7:9. See the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 41-51, as the wings of the lion and also of the four-headed leopard, beast, Babylon and Grisha, represents numbers of periods as previously explained on page 33 and 42. Then they must stand for the same on these beasts, for they are to point out the seal under which the judgment began. The sixth seal, therefore, six wings, Yahweh Almighty, which was and is to come, that is, Yahweh the Father, before the judgment, and the time of the judgment, and after the judgment, Revelation 4:7. And the first beast, was like a lamb, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. For the beast by the nature also represents the four periods of the church. The first beast is like a lion. Lion is the king of beasts, and is intended to point out the first period of the church before the ceremonial section with which the judgment began. See chart, Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 224. For the second beast being like a calf, it is evident that he represents the sacrificial or typical section. Thus, the beast with the face of a man must represent the antitypical period after the crucifixion. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. He represents the period in the time of the harvest, the last period, symbolized by the flying eagle, for the denoting of the church that shall be translated as flying eagle. This is who we are, the kingdom of, everlasting kingdom of heaven right here, Daniel 3:44-45. That's who we are. Tabernacle of David. Joshua is sitting upon the throne of this. He's the one directing this. Is the king of birds, as the lion is the king of beasts, which is a sign of the victory. Thus making a perfect symbol. As the judgment of the dead began with the beast like a lion, king of beasts, just so the judgment of the living begins with the beast like an eagle, king of the birds. The entire truth of these four beasts is not yet revealed. As the beast and the elders praise and worship the Father, it is sufficient testimony that the creation is satisfied that he is just and true and the creator of all. Those whose names were are written within the book of the seven seals are the ones whose sins are to be blotted out with the precious blood of Yahshua. There it is, right there. Thus praise and honor and glory is due unto our Yahweh forever and ever. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins, Isaiah 43:25. I will bear the indignation of the Yeshua, because I have sinned against him, and until he pleads my cause, and the Yeshua is the one that pleads your cause before the Father. So we're talking about the Son. And execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth unto the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. That's Yahshua's righteousness. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Micah 7:9-19. Shall we with the great apostle say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Yahshua, our Redeemer, our Savior, Romans 8:38, our King, Romans 8:38-39. Thus far, our attention has been called to the great judge, the jury of the 24 elders, and the four beasts representing those who shall be judged, and the book containing the name sealed with the seven seals. Now our attention is turned unto the advocate, which is Yahshua, the Son. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the old doers, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5, 6, and 8. For the Lamb is the symbol of Yahshua, our defender, said to John. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father Yahshua, the righteous. 1 John 2:1. For the seven horns on the Lamb signifies completeness of the power and authority. Verifying the words spoken by Yahshua. All power is given unto me in the heaven and in the earth. Matthew 28:18. For this immeasurable power is for our good and is freely offered to us, said Yahshua. If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, faith to what? Faith in his blood. You have the faith in his blood to, where you get this power as a grain of the mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Matthew 17:20. Dear friend, these words are either true or untrue. There can be no middle ground. As Yahshua cannot lie, will you try his never failing word and let him fulfill his promise? For the seven eyes of the Lamb denotes completeness of the vision, evidence that there is nothing hid from our advocate, and that all things are open and naked unto him. Equally so with Yahweh the Father, for the psalmist describes Yahweh's power in the vision in the following words: whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Psalm 139:7-12. Well, the Revelator says that the horns and the eyes of the Lamb are the seven spirits of the Yahweh the Father sent forth into all the earth. All of this power, both in the might and in vision, is embodied and demonstrated by the Spirit of Yahweh, said Yahshua. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16:7. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. For the seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, that are the seven spirits of the Yahweh the Father. Revelation 4:5. For the lamps of the fire, seven in number, present before the throne, represents completeness of the truth of the Yahweh, present truth revealed unto every generation since the world began, by which we are judged. Those who are obedient unto all the light and truth given them have come up unto the requirement. They are sealed and cleared from the condemnation of the law of Yahweh. For the seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh, Revelation 4:5. This scripture proves the fact that light and truth are revealed by the Spirit of the Yahweh only. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. For the rejection of the light and present truth is the sin against the Holy Spirit. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, that's present truth, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come, Matthew 12:32, our attitude towards the present truth would either make a tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Matthew 12:33. Thus, present truth has the power to change the individual and fit him for the eternal life, which is the seal of the living Yahweh, said Yahshua. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of the Yahweh. John 3:5. This brings in verse 57, contact just at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Mansion over the hilltop. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the lights of gold shine, I want a gold one, the silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in the bright lands we'll never go. And someday yonder we will never more wander. We'll walk the streets and a purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find him not down in the dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion for my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where never go. And someday yonder you will never more wander, to walk the streets that a priest goes. Don't think me poor, he said it as lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, In that bright land where you'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander. We'd walk the streets that till you.